No. Joshua is back. He's back. Hi, Radio Rollercoaster. Joshua here. I was just kidding about what I said before. I'm here to stay. Love the discussions. I always look forward to this time of the year when I get to listen to Radio Rollercoaster. You are stellar. No, I'm Marcus.
I feel that the heat might have got to you and you need to go and have a lie down.
Oh, wait a minute. P.S. Oh, no. This is a different Joshua. I couldn't resist. Lost one, gained another.
What's going on?
Well, Joshua sent us a message on X to boldly announce that he was leaving.
Because of what Marcus said?
Because we were discussing how hot it was in the wake of the world number one going out of the tournament in one of the most surprising results we've seen here in recent years, which may or may not have been related to the very high temperatures we'd have been experiencing in Paris. Joshua objected to us talking about the weather and said there wasn't enough tennis, and he left. And Marcus, in a very needy way, kept asking him to come back. Even though it was very clear he was no longer listening.
But now another Joshua momentarily gave me great excitement by suggesting he was back. But this is a different Joshua.
Can you clean up all your mess and get out?
Lose one, gain another.
Well, we got a fifth set starting, 4 hours, Hercats TFO. We got the defending champion about to roll out onto Susan Longland. We've still got three quarters of a flattened brioche on the... And Courtney's cracked open the snakes. It's taken until halfway through day five. Well, thank you very much to Eleanor, who will be back with me later. Is that it for you, Marcus, now, or are you back later? Are you back next? You're back. So Marcus is back at 7. Eleanor's back at 8:15. See, now what you've done, you've opened the snakes. Courtney, it's the worst thing you could have done. Open the sweets. Look, it's like being in a teenage boy's bedroom here.
Yeah. Aren't these?
Take your rubbish and go. Right. Apologies, listeners. We can have some tennis now. I promise you. Courtney, how are you?
I'm not sure what I've walked into. There is.
I'm sat on a very warm seat.
Pastries. Buttons. It seems like he's just fraying at the seams here.
I think the heat's got to him. He looks like a tourist, doesn't he? Those sort of shorts and the baseball cap. Looks like he's sightseeing somewhere.
We're just waiting for the bum bag.
He'd need a little bum bag and he'd be like a French tourist.
All right. No, there's a lot going on and there's been some amazing tennis. It's been a little day of drama, I would be fair to say, for the written press. I was just downstairs... right at the back of the most packed press conference.
Yeah, we played it.
Oh, you did?
We missed the first minute or so, but got the gist of how awfully felt.
Did you get the gist of the scene in terms of I've never, ever in my longer career than some, seen as many journalists in a press conference? It was like standing room only, and even then there were people back into the corridors. I've never seen anything like it at the press conference. Covering tennis, Australian football, President's Cups.
I did see the BBC's tennis correspondent running past me on the stairs. At this point, I thought, hang on a second. So I came in here and said to Stefan, I think Yannick Sinner might be coming into press.
The whisper went around that it was going to be 8 minutes, and then it was all of a sudden, Yannick Sinner is...
on his way.
In his press room, in the press room, it's like, whoa. It was like a herd of cattle. And let's face it, yeah, some of us are not in the best shape in that downstairs. A lot of my colleagues are in fine shape. But it's like a herd of cattle stampeding towards the press room.
Oh, my word. Well, there's still an awful lot of tennis to bring you today. It does look like he's going in to sit on a tourist bus now and going with his little baseball cap and shorts, and he's got his glasses. Oh, that's very sweet of you to check. So the plan, I think, and actually when I walked back in, I walked past Court 14 and it was a sight to behold all the people out there. It is now 4 hours and 6 minutes. It's a game apiece between Hubert Hurkacz and Francis Tiafoe. We do have Coco Gauff on Susan Longland, but with that retirement there, I'm guessing there'll still be a good 20 minutes or so before we get them out there.
It'll take a little while to work through, think, just in terms of the players coming off the court, sweeping, etc., preparing, new load of ball, kids, officials, just everyone needs to be on and ready to go.
Especially in this weather. Gosh. So it gives us time to check in on her catch in Tiafoe. We'll keep an eye on absolutely everything else that's going on. But again, 4 hours and 7 minutes in these temperatures, it's crazy.
Now, if I was to... Today's been an unpredictable day, you would say. There's been things potentially predictable. You might be able to scarcely believe it, given the history of the world number one. But if I was to say that what was predictable, I did think that these two men going up against each other on a day like today where the ball is going to be really sizzling through on the serve... And just knowing the competitors, I thought there was every chance this would go five. I also thought there'd be probably a lot of tight sets, and it could scarcely be any tighter. Three tiebreakers, and in the set that wasn't, the third set that went to TFO to give him a 2-1 lead, one service break in terms of a 6-4 scoreline. It's been exceptionally tight.
4-3 on the head-to-head in favour of Tiafoe. They haven't met since 2024, and they've never met on the clay before. I think it's fair to say they'll understand each other's game quite clearly on the clay.
Just a little bit more, without a doubt, about that. As we look at 4:08 on the clock. Tiafoe just manages to slightly miss a forehand. 15:30 on his serve, so a half window of opportunity here for Hubert.
15:30, as Courtney said, and the first serve from Tiafoe is into the net. The look up, look down. Just one bounce the ball needed. I quite like that. Up goes the ball, kicks up out wide. The backhand in play, cross court, backhand, cross court from Tiafoe, cross court from her catch and long. And I guess there are so many more things at this stage of the match to take into consideration. You've got to think of the physical level, mentally, physically, how they're bearing up and how clearly are they thinking at this stage.
Yeah, and any small mistake or any minor moment of, I suppose, feel-good emotion, positive emotion, can go a long, long way in this sort of situation for so many reasons. But look, they'll be towards the end of their reserves, without a doubt.
Drop shot, her catch. Tiafoe slid up to it. He redrops. Then it's back cross court from her catch. A wonderful slide for the Pole, who goes towards the Polish fan saying, "I need you more than ever right now," as he brings up break point.
And those fans were up out of their seats, standing up, and the flags, all those Polish flags, have Hubie written across them. Or booby, more to the point. I'm really giving it an Australian pronunciation with the...
Well, Antoine's favourite Aussie term is the droppy.
The droppy.
The droppy.
Yeah.
He won't do it with an Australian accent, which I think it needs.
Oh, the droppy.
But yeah, now you obviously say it perfectly. But Antoine says it in a French way, but that's his new favourite tennis term. Serve down the tee. The slapped off forehand on the return. Hurkacz slices the backhand. Then the inside in from Tiafoe. The squash shot forehand cross court from Hurkacz. Down the line. Oh, that was a bullet of a forehand from the American.
Really took the initiative there. Hurkacz, quite defensive. He was opting for the slice. Very patient with the first forehand from Tiafoe, stretching wide to the forehand. And that opened up the court to roll a really nice topspin backhand. And he raises his arm. Basically, in this game, every point that either man has won, they've raised their arm in triumph. It's that type of battle out there.
No more than that, because they've got the energy. They're trying to conserve it. So it's a quick raise, and then it's back to conserving energy. Anna Kalinskaya has won through on court 6, 7-6, 6-4, against Alina Korneva. Tiafoe, oh, it's a beauty of a forehand. The pick up on the backhand side. And then charging forward, leaping up and smashing the ball away cross court for game point.
Just such a great, intriguing, engrossing battle here. Yeah. And the crowd, understandably, are riding this. Now, you know, a couple of years ago when these gents were in and around the top 10, this would have been a feature stadium court match.
You're right, yeah.
Here we are on an outside court. Stands are understandably packed. You can hear the Polish fans right behind Ubi. But you can also see that Tiafoe, a very popular player here, has got fans in the stands as well.
100%. As I walk past, there are people trying to get in as he aces down the her tea. There's no energy to celebrate. Just a quick, like a nodding dog, the head going up and down as they drag their bodies back to their benches. And these people were trying to get onto the court. The lady was being super polite, saying, I'm afraid it's full. And they were just two of us. She said, no, I'm afraid we're full, but there's only two of us. And eventually, she got a bit shirty, but I respect that because she had said very politely a few times, there's genuinely no room. So eventually it was like, get out. And off they went. Francis Devitt, three, but he's got the ball boy helping him with his rotation of drinks.
He's working through a three. Is it a three drink rotation?
I think he is. And one of them he's just taken the top off completely so he can really down it. And you look, I mean, look at the crowd. There's hats, there's towels, there's umbrellas, there's fans, there's programs, there's everything.
Oh, I'm impressed by the resilience of the fans, but also their endurance because, yes, the players are serving, they're getting up to that ball, they're really sliding, the thighs must be burning at the moment, and that's just aside from every other element of the conditions today. But the fans, due credit to them, it's exhausting to be sitting there for 4 hours flicking your wrist, waving fans. It's not the easiest thing for them either. This is an emotionally, well, physically testing day for them as well.
Yeah, everyone's invested. Just looking back at Tiafoe on the clay, there was the clay of Houston, reached the semi-final, loss to Tommy Paul. There was no Madrid. He would go to Rome, win one match, and then lose to Andrea Pellegrino, the Italian qualifier, who had an absolute dream run. Then it was to Hamburg, where he would win a match and lose a match. And this is the second round here. So Tiafoe really this year, I mean, Acapulco lost in the final to Flavio Caboli on the hard courts. But just trying to get a little bit of something going since then. There was a quarterfinal in Miami, lost to Jannik Sinner. I would say most people lose to Jannik Sinner, but not Juan Manuel Cirindolo.
He was beaten by the Heat, and then he was beaten by Cirindolo.
Oh, crikey. Still sort of sinking in, I think.
Zero.
As it will be for Sinner, who confirmed that he's not expected to play anything until he gets to, as he calls it, Wimby.
To Wimby?
Yeah.
I reckon he'll hit a few droppies there.
Oh, Antoine, I think we're going to have to clip that up and just play it for Antoine. We need Courtney saying droppy, because he's got the Aussie part of it. Hurkacz will take that ball out of the air, swat it away into the open court and say, thank you very much.
And so the margins are very fine here. You cannot afford a slip up because both men have very powerful serves. And, you know, given how extended this match has been, we talk about how tight it has been, but you sense that if there is a slip up, it could go quickly. If you dip in concentration for just a second, this match could get away, and it's a prized opportunity for both of these men who, as I've touched on, have been top 10. They've been outstanding players as Tiafoe just rifles a return, a forehand return up the line. Read that perfectly. So it's a really fascinating stage of this match.
Yeah, Hurkacz peaked at number 6 in 2024. And he's just working his way. He's had some horrible injuries, been off the tour for a long while. He's sitting at 99 as he plays the half volley off his shoelace. That looks so effortless from the pole. And his celebration, he's got such little energy. He just sort of did like a little bicep curl, like a mini bicep curl, and then down again.
I'm not so sure after this he'd be able to do a bicep curl with even the lowest weight.
It's been a lot. But there's an ace down the tee talking about the big serve. There it was. 2 games apiece, 4 hours 15 on the match clock. Oh, I forgot Hurkacz working with Gilles Savara now.
Yeah.
Former coach of Daniil Medvedev. Spent a little bit of time with Nishesh Basavareddy. But now Hurkacz and Savara together. Look at that. We're seeing an aerial view of the court. I don't understand how those people at the back can actually see anything.
On court 14. No, it's similar to standing in a Jannik Sinner press conference today. A very, very hard view.
Wow.
Crowded company. But what you can do is tell by the reaction of the fans either way as to who's won the point previously.
So for Hurkacz, Monte Carlo got to the round of 16, lost to Valentin Vacherot.
Who withdrew, sadly, withdrew today with a foot problem, I believe.
Madrid, a win, and then a defeat to Lorenzo Musetti. Then he went to Cagliari for a challenger and would lose in the final to Matteo Arnaldi. Rome, first round exit to Yannick Hanfmann. And then Jaume Munar, the win in the first round here that got him set for this battle with Tiafoe.
And Munar's been, you know, in reasonable form, and he's a very, very sound clay court player. And the loss to Arnaldi in a challenger final just, yeah, it demonstrates how tough some of those challenges can be, because Arnaldi, former top 40 player, really, really solid Italian, very, very, very good talented player on the way back from injury as well. And you have these two legitimate ATP Tour players having to drop back a couple of levels as Tiafoe nets a forehand here. And at love 30, so the window, the half window of opportunity opens for Hubi.
Hubi. I can tell you they have, they've called Francisco Comesaña and Luciano Daderi. Daderi, who had that run in Rome, but then he had that faux pas when he walked out into Centrale with the sunglasses on and missed the little mascot. Oh, he did apologise afterwards, but yeah. And then he got absolutely thumped. 1-2 punch from Tiafoe, not quite, and he's just guiding that ball wide, and it followed suit, and it landed in the tram lines, and he's on the board in game number 5.
Landolucci's doing a very good job in his match against Capriva, the Czech, out on court 9, Gigi. He was in a world of trouble, the talented young Spaniard, dropping the first two sets convincing fashion, 6-1, 6-2. Bounce back to win the third, and at 4-4 in the fourth. So you wonder if there's one another big five-setter to come here today.
What a day this turning out to be. Temperatures up in the 30s. Tiafoe misses down the tee, went for the big one. Did not quite make it. Tiafoe, former world number 10. That was back in 2023. Serve out wide. The backhand's in play. That's very deep from Hercat, who cannot get enough spin to drag that ball back down into the court. What do you like most about Tiafoe and how he plays when you look at him?
Well, we know that he's slightly unconventional in terms of his technique on the forehand in particular. I like the way that he's assertive. I think that, you know, he does produce a prodigious amount of topspin, so that does help with the power that he has in terms of... but it also helps particularly on days like today where that topspin will really bite and take an opponent out of court. So on that occasion, it's almost as though Hubi had to take another half step or half slide to actually reach the ball. You know, it's going to help on the day like today. And the balls are flying. Look, I love his aggression. I think he's a really solid, sound, all-court player. We've seen him deep in Grand Slams. Those couple of big runs at the US Open. Whether he can get back there again, I guess that's a challenge now. Bordering on 30 years of age.
28.
I'll just give him a couple of years.
His held serve from love 30. That was a big old hold for the American as they make their way back. They actually look, for 4 hours 20, they look in pretty good nick.
No doubt. And I think part of it, I mean, you look at this, you look at the hours, 66 for the minutes of the first set, 62 for the second. The third was shorter by virtue of not going to a tiebreaker. But the fourth extended beyond an hour as well. This is a battle. But I guess a bit of it's one strike tennis or two to three strike tennis. So they're not having, because they're powerful men who are aggressive players. So they're not having the extended rallies. Doesn't mean it's not hot. Doesn't mean they're not expelling a lot of energy out there. But it may mean that they can last a little bit longer. Tiafoe, just to paint the picture here, he's dropped the three-bottle routine for this change of events at the moment, and he's opted for the just put away a banana as quickly as I possibly can and just downed that banana.
And I like the way the water bottle, the lid's off. I mean, he's gulping down the liquid. There's no sort of sipping it. He's just asked for it to be filled up.
And Hercat's in the other station. He's basically wrapped his entire right arm in a towel. He has got the heat towel behind him in terms of... the ice towel
say,
behind
not
him.
Not a heat towel.
No, the ice towel to try and...
That would be foolish.
...lessen the heat around his neck. But it's an interesting thing with the right arm wrapped all the way in that towel.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's got some ice in it to try and decompress or perhaps... it's just an interesting thing. I haven't quite seen that.
No, I haven't. I, as we say, at this stage, you're slightly addled anyway, aren't you, brain-wise? Maybe it's just...
Myself, absolutely myself, but the players too.
They'd be addled. Tiafoe just, he's got a stash of, one, two, three, four, six rackets. He's popped one down. He's going to take a new one out now.
So Tiafoe with the advantage of serving first in the fifth set. It is a little handy thing to be able to, if you can hold, of course, get to the break and then keep your nose ahead.
Hurkacz has got the new balls. He proffered one towards Tiafoe. Hurkacz, white top, dark shorts, dark baseball cap, white socks, white shoes and double faults.
The crowd has just got so much energy. You can hear them in the back there, Gigi. Clapping, chanting.
Serve out wide. It's blocked back. It's a mid-court ball. He just has enough time to see which way that Tiafoe is going to commit to.
Now, I love the energy that we're seeing out there, both from the players involved, but also from the fans. It's a test of endurance today. And they are saying enthusiastic and heavily involved and adding a great atmosphere.
And I tell you what, the top half of the draw is now a land of opportunity. I mean, at the beginning of the tournament, everyone wants to be in the bottom half of the draw. Now everybody wants to be in the top half of the draw. Because down the bottom, you've still got Novak Djokovic, you've got Sasha Zverev, Casper Ruud,
Joao Fonseca, of course, who plays Djokovic tomorrow. Alex Diminor is there as well.
And there's, of course, still quality players in the top half as Hubert Hurkacz drop shots his way to the point for game points. But you've got to start thinking the top half. Hang on a second.
There is a window, a real window.
Big old window, wide open.
And the duopoly of dominance that we've seen over the last 2 years, two and a half years at Grand Slam, nine straight Grand Slam successes dating back to between Sinner and Alcaraz, so split the spoils, but dating back to Novak Djokovic's 24th Grand Slam title back at the US Open in 2023. That duopoly is over. Do we revert to the norm with number 25, or is it finally the chance for someone else to make that charge, clinch that major that may not have been on the horizon had the weather been a little cooler?
And is it Zverev? Is it the man who many believed his moment had gone? He has this mental block when it comes to Sinner and Alcaraz. They are no longer here. Well, one was never here. Sinner is now gone. Yes, there's still Novak Djokovic, but his back didn't look great. Although Zverev's nursing some back issues. How about Casper Ruud, two-time finalist? But then he's had problems with the heat. Can he recover enough? Overhead. Oh, that was a beauty from the American.
Big foe is... The necklace that he's wearing, it's just very powerful. I hope that's a lightweight metal and not a heavy gold. He certainly was able to bounce back from that lob, defensive lob from Hurkacz to put away the smash, to move to 15 love, 3-all. As said, one strike tennis, a lot of pretty short points here. Both players going for broke.
55 unforced errors from Hurkacz to 32 from Tiafoe. Tiafoe, physically, in his eyes, looks a little more tired than Hurkacz, I have to say. Hurkacz steps in with a backhand cross court on the return. Down the line from Tiafoe, picked up by Hurkacz. Hurkacz slaps the foot. Oh, beautiful. There was an unsteady approach from Tiafoe. There was a wonderful get on the stretch by Hurkacz.
Just whipped that forehand up the line and then... The most subtle of little fist pumps, as you said, almost the the bench.
Bicep curl.
The bicep curl.
It's a tiny half bicep curl, which is now a celebration after 4 hours and 25 minutes.
I thought that shot deserved a little more given how well he whipped it.
No, not after that long. Maria Sakkari and Claire Liu have split sets. They're starting a third. Still no sign of Coco Gauff. She'll be on Susan Longland. The off backhand from Hurkacz. Oh, down the line from Tiafoe. He's going to let this one bounce. Smash it. Brilliantly done. There is literally nothing between these two at the moment.
And it's great tennis. And it's really interesting tennis to see how they're moving each other around. You know, we talk about that topspin, the heavy topspin forehand of Tiafoe. It's been really quite safe, but he is using this shape to stretch his rival. Hurkacz is a flatter player, certainly driving through the ball. You know that he's more prone to go for a big, big winner. But both men are very proficient coming forward as well. Really good at the net.
Forehand back through the middle of the court. Cross court from Tiafoe. Tiafoe with his forehand going cross court to the forehand. Squash shot, slice down the line. Drop shot from Tiafoe. Oh, that's good. Really good.
It wasn't the, I suppose, the traditional dropper or droppy. Yeah. On that occasion, it was more like just a heavily sliced bunt. So a bit more margin for error. Like it was just a short chipped back end, but beautifully placed, acute angle. The other thing is it would have really stretched Hubie, who was, had to race across. That was a very clever play from the American. So just delicate touch.
As you said, he's serving first. As long as he holds, he'll continue to have the scoreboard lead and put the pressure on.
Just big battles unfolding across Roland Garros today. And there's a couple of women's matches deep in the third set.
It's a hold. 4-3. I mean, Tiafoe is showing the strain of the 4 hours and 27 minutes. Absolutely. Hurkacz looks okay.
He reaches, he puts the big foe necklace into his mouth. The towel with the ice goes around the neck. It's the water bottle with the lid on for this occasion. And then he goes for the second water bottle. Hang on, needs to fill that one up because that's been drained.
That one's empty. Felix Auger-Aliassime is a set down. The fourth seed. Gosh, he's the fourth seed. Wow. Forget sometimes, don't you?
He's had a really good season, but with Alcaraz missing, it does bump everyone up in the seeding. It's just that one spot. So again, he looks at the land of opportunity thinking, well...
Loses the first set.
and that's the other thing that will play on players as well. The fact that there is this opportunity can, expectations can cause problems. Dario Kasatkina, the Aussie, former Roland Garros semi-finalist here, adopted Aussie, who has had a difficult year, but then recently after returning from a bit of surgery, a bit of time away, has played quite well. She was 5-1 down in the first set against the Swiss qualifier, Susan Bandeschi, and was able to snare at 7-5, but finds herself in a hole in the second set, 5-3 down. So you wonder if that one might get to three. I'm not surprised with this one going through either. On court number 13, Yulia Putintseva leads Camila Osorio 4-3 in the third, but the first two sets 7-5 to the Colombian, 7-6, 8-6 in the tiebreaker to Putintseva in the second, 4-3. Just a match that's now gone 3 hours, 12 minutes out on court number 13. So that is an extended battle in that women's second round match.
Hurkacz serving 3-4. He has 8 titles, last coming in 2024. His biggest was Miami. Remember when he won that in 2021? Wow. Tiafoe takes that really early, snatched at it, overhits it, shakes his head.
So you wonder in terms of the aggression there whether he might have been better placed trying to get himself into the rally, because that forehand with the topspin, he's worked his rival around really well this set. Instead, tried to take it early. I can understand the mindset, but just didn't quite execute.
Tiafoe, navy blue outfit head to toe. Oh, back behind.
Perfect wrong footing of the American, who didn't even react to that one. It wasn't overly far away, but just such a well-struck backhand. Tiafoe, I think, expecting him to go down the line, didn't move. Now, clearly that's part of, it's late in this match. Trying to preserve whatever energy he got left. He rips a beautiful backhand return on that occasion. Deep to Hurkacz. So 30-15 to the pole. Tiafoe leading this fifth set, 4-3, very much on serve, as has been the case in a serve-dominated match.
Hurkacz not happy with the ball toss, so he will start again. Everyone is starting. You would think there was no one in that court. It's absolutely heaving. Serve out. Wide the serve. Does the job. A little bit of frustration. Tiafoe, but the pole is serving really well.
Oh, beautiful precision there. He was able to use that height, positioning in the court when he served as well, to really find the angle to the back end court, the advantage court, and TFO unable to, you know, with the double-handed back end, it makes it a little harder to stretch and just couldn't get round it.
Game points. Took that really early, TFO. Managed to pull it back down the line. Hercatch, he slides it to a backhand down the other wing and misses. I'm just looking back through the Hercatch injuries. So missing about 7 months last year. It's mainly been the right knee. He's had a few back problems, but the right knee has really caused him problems. He did return at the start of the year. He says the recovery has gone well and he has progressed, but July last year underwent arthroscopic surgery on the right knee to address the persistent problems, and by September he actually shut down his season early to fully focus on rehab, and it seems to have been the right decision as he double faults and it's deuce 3-4.
And so that's the flip side of the move forward on the opening point where TFO tried to create and take that second serve early. Unsuccessful on that occasion. At 40-15, he moved forward, took the return early, and was really successful on the point. Second serve again, he moves forward and draws a double fault with Hercatch trying to go too much, too long. So, you know, checks and balances, it works for him.
Oh, ace. But Tiafoe is saying, hang on a second, I'm not sure that was an ace. He is going to mark it. There is no... He's being told that there's no gap between the line and the ball.
And we're getting a really, really good camera angle here.
Yeah. And
it's an extended... I can understand asking the question, yeah. Given the point.
And she was saying that there is no gap. You can see the ball is touching the sideline. Where is the gap?
Fine margins.
Whoa, I'd love to see. We might get a Hawkeye replay of that. Game point for 4-4. Ooh, misses an enormous serve down the tee. TFO's taken this very early, the backhand. Ooh, it's worked, but just onto the sidelines. The stretch, and it's long, and that came about from the aggressive return of stance position from TFO.
Yeah,
really clubbed the return, took it early. Did exceptionally well in the second one because Hercatz did a really good job to scramble and float that one back about three-quarter court on the sideline, and TFO a jumping backhand, flattened through it beautifully and drew the error.
Remember, if he breaks here, he serves for the match. Ace, out wide. Game point to the pole.
And what we're seeing repeatedly through this fifth set is TFO effectively just taking a gamble on the first set. He is choosing a direction. If he gets it right, he's got racket on the ball. If he doesn't, it's an ace to Hercatz. On that occasion, he was moving to the backhand, and Hubie just slid one wide. Lovely slice, beautiful angle.
5:30 in the afternoon, 4:34 of this contest, and it's an ace. So we've got Diane Parry is a game away from the third round, so the French will be very happy. We've got Coco Gauff called to Susan Longland, and we've got four games all after 4:35 of action. And again, they look in pretty good nick.
They do. They really do. Better nick than what, quite a few.
Yeah. For instance.
Oh boy, I was standing outside when he was carried through yesterday, by an army of medical personnel, paramedics. It was quite a shocking scene.
But the crazy thing is, in his press conference, he said, "Yeah, after about 30 minutes, he's back in the gym." And you're like, "Are you mad?"
Didn't look amazingly fresh-faced when he did that press conference in the smaller
been to
room.
The gym.
TFO puts away a bounce smash to win the opening point of this game, the ninth game of the fifth set, four games all. No, he looked a little, unwell. But it was astonishing. As I said, I was standing outside court seven. He'd played on court six, having a chat to someone, and fans were being ushered out of the way by security, and there was about 5 or 6 people accompanying him. They were almost carrying the wheelchair which he was in, and he was slumped to the side.
Did he get in the wheelchair? Because he walked off court because he said he didn't want it.
Well, he was in the wheelchair.
Was he? That's interesting, because when he left the court, he said, "No, I want to walk off court," and we actually saw him walking off the court. But you're saying as he left the court, he got in the wheelchair.
Yeah, he was in the wheelchair as they worked him through, and they couldn't get him down initially. They had to go to a different entrance. So we're talking, you know, it was quite the scene. It was something you don't often see, a player looking so unwell, sort of stretching through. Yeah.
So 15 all, 4 all, 4 hours 36. Coco Gauff, Maya Sharif warming up. We will bring that to you. TFO swings the backhand cross court. Then he comes forward to a follow. So a really lovely point, weaving his way forward.
And that's what you talk about, that ability to come forward. Both men have got it. They're choosing good balls to come forward. So the volleys that they're getting are there to be put away. But it's a well-constructed point there from TFO.
Just cut through that volley. So 30-15, 4-all. Hurkacz looking a little leggy now, just sort of desperately just keeping those legs moving. Facially looks fine, but the legs, it's like when he's got that, you know, when you have that tired leg thing when they just ache, you feel like he's got that. He can't stop moving his legs around, can't stand still. Backhand is in play, cross court, backhand to backhand, they go. And he'll switch TFO and go inside out with the forehand. A double hander back for the American down the line. Beautifully done.
And as opposed to a safer, heavily topspinning forehand on occasion, he upped the ante and really flattened through that midpoint. Beautiful off forehand that opened up the court, and the backhand was superb. He took it early, abbreviated backswing, just used the pace from Hurkacz straight up the line for a winner. Lovely tennis from the American, and now he has 2 game points to move to 5-4.
Alex in Kent, from Kent but lives in Michigan. Shout out to my mum, who is in Kent in England. Thanks for taking me to Wimbledon in 1992 when I was 5. Loved tennis ever since. Saw Federer against Sampras and Murray under the roof for the first time. They are great tennis memories. Game points for TFO, who hooks that backhand cross court. Down the line goes Hurkacz. Hurkacz comes in a midcourt ball, but he nets. We are on serve, but the American is a game away for round 3 after 4 hours and 38 minutes, 5-4 he leads.
Beautiful tennis there from the American. I hate to break it to you, Gigi. Pete has written in to say, there's too much tennis. We tune in for the soap opera that is Radio Roland Garros.
Oh, Marcus
the
will be
Real
back
Housewives
at 7.
Have nothing on you guys.
Marcus will be back at 7, I promise.
Players. Trying to find the balance is always critical in both tennis and, of course,
life.
And life. I think, look, I think we're doing a pretty good job because this is a dramatic match. It's a great one. I'm going to pat myself on the back because no one else is going to.
Why? For what?
I used droppy too much. No, I said I think we're trying hard and we're delivering.
I think we are. I think there's the balance. I think chat is good because we're effectively keeping people company.
We are.
So we want them to kind of feel part of the conversation and bring them the tennis and the best bits of the tennis. We will go to Coco Gauff. Deanne Parry is starting to serve for a place in the third round. That will be followed by Aryna Sabalenka. So we're going to have to do a bit of juggling between the defending champion and the world number one. But we'll figure that out.
It's a tricky, tricky balance. It's a tricky task.
Hubert Hurkacz on serve, serving to stay in Roland Garros 2026 after 4 hours 40. The poll is ready. Tiafo has himself a new shirt on. Hurkacz bounces the ball, kind of high bounces, then one low one. Reaches up, misses down the tee and nearly takes out a line judge.
I was going to say, great reaction from the line judge because that one was going straight for the head and clubbed.
The forehand is put back into court. Very deep, too deep from Hurkacz. Looks up at the chair. The call is confirmed. And Tiafoe's 3 points away.
And I think you're right, Gigi, when you talk about the legs of Hurkacz. You know, just again, he just sort of gave that flex where it's like there's just starting to feel a little extra tension, which I'm not surprised.
Love 15. Serves out wide, mid-court return, backhand swung cross-court, and it's missed.
Only marginally, but by enough to give TFO a love 30. Didn't mind the redirect there from Hurkacz, but just not quite safe enough. Wanders over, gets the towel, but now what an opportunity potentially for TFO.
who has won 10 of the last 15 points, and he's 2 points away from the win. Can he get a first serve? Yes, he can. It's snapped back to his feet. What a return, a serve from the American to bring up triple match point after 4 hours and 41 minutes.
Lightning can strike so quickly, having been so tight for so long all the way through this match. TFO, great start to this game, and then picks the right strike, slams that forehand, three match points his way.
Needs a serve. Oh, he's missed it. He went down the tee. He wants to have a look at it. No, he's fine with it. Second serve, triple match point down. Clips the top of the net as it's going out wide. Oh, match points TFO. Oh my word.
So struggling to get up for those second serves. We talk about the legs potentially being in some trouble. Has not been able to really get up, and they've just cleared them.
Serves out wide, have good deep serve, but it comes back. He's inside the baseline, has to retreat. Hurkacz with his double-handed backhand. This is slightly off backhand, a looping spinny ball from Tiafoe. Drops short from Hurkacz. He's pummeling Tiafoe, who's defending now. He switches it cross, got the forehand cross, got lovely angle from Hurkacz, and he's got it! Francis Tiafoe finds the angle, goes cross-court, and then leaps into the crowd.
Tremendous celebrations here. What joy on court 14.
4 hours, 43 minutes, 6-4 in the fifth. He goes round to give a hug to Hurkacz, to the chair umpire, and now to the crowd.
Whips the shirt off.
And he's roaring down the camera lens on the court, and he's screaming bare-chested. Now he's showing his guns to everyone.
Bouncing around like a prize fighter.
Poor old Hubie's trying to wave to the crowd, but Hurkacz is, but Tiafoe's beating his chest. He's left his shirt in the middle of the court. He's now lying on his back on his chair. I think he might be there for a while. He is through. Wow.
You don't normally see celebrations like that when a champion has won a major. That. Both men gave absolutely everything in that match. You can hear the crowd bouncing around behind Tiafoe. He's got the big faux necklace dangling. His head bowed over. What joy.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
Right, to Susan Longland. Deanne Parry is trying to close out the match for her place in the third round. Coco Gauff is underway against Maya Sharif. Second meeting between the two.
L'avantage, Gauff.
It's a lot calmer on Susan Longland.
Going from the last game of a five-set thriller to the first game of a long afternoon on Susan Longland.
Cool. And Deanne Parry just missed the opportunity to bring up match point.
A high forehand into the net and open court.
Oh, gosh. Maya Sharif puts lashings of spin on the inside-out forehand, draws the error from Coco Gauff. This court is, the playing surface is completely covered in shade between the two.
Still some sunshine on the players as such, but, certainly on Sharif on one side of the court, but almost fully covered in terms of both players as well. So that gives an indication that that sun is, you know, creeping across, and it's a little different matter out on the main stadium court here, Philippe Chatrier, which is still emblazoned in sunshine.
Go for the game point. Look up from Gauff, look around, back down she goes. Came through qualifying, Maya Sharif, who's 129. So he's got a fair few matches under her belt. The three in qualifying, then the first round. So four matches on the Roland Garros clay as Coco Gauff gets off to a good start, holds her serve. So she has a, despite how successful she is, have a kind of love-hate relationship with the surface, finds it messy. She gets lots of cuts, breaks nails. It's all a bit happens on the clay because you're throwing yourself around everywhere.
Yeah, you really are. And when you move like she does, such a supreme defender, so athletic, you know, she's getting a lot more balls. And as a result, the points are longer and you are more prone to doing a little damage to yourself.
They previously met in Cincinnati. That was back in 2023. It was 2-2 for Goff in a second round meeting. How's Deanne Parry doing?
She has a match point here.
Let's nip across to Philippe Chatrier as we are so close to it to see if Deanne Parry, with a very heavy strapping on her left thigh.
Just a ball toss on that first one, just a little askew.
Probably thinking about what's going on here. Thunders a serve down the tee, back through the middle of the court. The forehand cross court and deep from Parry, who scampers around. Ooh, puts some spin, sticks the ball up high. Ann Lee will try and bring it down on the forehand side. The backhand netted. There's the roar. There's the first. She's played a lot of tennis lately. Played, I think, the 125 in Paris, won the final because Madison Keys retired.
Yes.
She would then go on and beat Emma Raducanu in their first match there. So a lot of tennis in the legs of Deanne Parry, but congratulations to her in her home slam through to the third round.
Well, and that's two impressive wins on this main stadium court. And we talk about French players and the burden they carry in terms of expectation. She's now delivered twice on the main stadium court in Paris. Good form. I love watching her play. Her backhand is sublime with the single hander coming over the ball, coming under the ball, and I really like the easy power in her forehand. Great win.
I'll keep you across everything else. Félix Auger-Aliassime is getting his act together.
Camila Osorio prevails 7-5 in the third set against Putintseva on court number 13.
Maya Sharif, the age of 30 now, has been as high as 31 in the world back in 2023. Mentioned she's now down around the qualifying mark. But played a fair bit of clay.
And clearly, you know,
loves the surface.
Loves the surface. Her natural surface. She knows the nuances. But so does Goff, as you would expect from a defending champion here at Roland Garros.
I'm just going back to last. If I go back to last June, 7 matches in a year not played on clay.
So very, very clearly a preference, a priority as to where you're going. And I'm assuming with her ranking at certain stages, that will have got her into majors and she may well have gone to...
A lot of 125s.
A lot of 125s.
Yeah, a lot of 125s. I would say 90% are 125s. The hardcourt US was first round of the US Open.
Yep.
There was the Australian Open qualifying first round, so that's not tour level. But in terms of her matches for the last year, just a handful not played on the clay.
Content.
Before this, she was at the 125 in Parma. Won one, then lost one. Fell in qualifying for Rome. Wasn't into the qualifying for Madrid. So really, before, this is her first tour level match as I race through.
Well, aside from her first round win, but first tour
level. Tour level tournament since, crikey, I have to keep going back, since I think the US Open first round.
So that's an extended stint, almost 9 months, you know, playing at a slightly lower level. Beautiful, heavily topspinning forehand there from her, and then the lovely follow-up with the drop shot, which demonstrates it's very much a classical clay court play. Get your rival as deep as possible and then drop shot on the other side, the dropper, and she executed that one perfectly.
She beat Dal Magalfi in the first round of Hungary, 7-5, 6-4. But yeah, wow, her last tour-level match before this tournament was the US Open. But she's been working very hard on the clay. There's been semi-finals and finals in there at that 1-2-5 level. And now a chance to test herself on her favourite surface against one of the best players in the world. As Goff goes back down the line and cross-court into the corner goes Sharif. And onto the sidelines goes Goff.
Great precision. Great movement to get wide because she was really pushed wide there by the heavy topspinning forehand of Sharif. Goff Again, a beautiful mover and just whipped through that, whipped across it. I think Sharif couldn't believe how well she actually hit that ball from the position she was in. You see her rock back in a little bit of disbelief.
The usual familiar golf teamer in the box, JC Farrell, her coach, Gavin McMillan, he's also a coach, but he's the biomechanics expert that came in for the serve, but very much part of the team. Candy, her mum, is there. Dad will be somewhere if he's here. He might be with her brothers, because they're also into their sport and needing a parent with them. The lofted spinny ball up, and again from Sharif. Look at these just big old high balls that she's sticking up in the air. And Goff is having to hit everything from above shoulder height, and another one that sits up. Goff with her forehand goes down the line, and another one sits up, then drop shot from Goff. Oh, just didn't react to it quick enough, Maya Sharif.
Just exquisite touch as well from the American. Really well assessed that situation. And she was on the baseline. There was a lot of spin, but she just shaped as though she was going to hit a double fister, leap into it, and last minute cuts back under it with the single hand. Delightful tennis, delightful stroke.
And she'd had enough of all those high balls, and she's like, I'm not hitting another one above head height. So break point for Goff for 2-love. 5-love now, Felix Auger-Aliassime in the second set, having dropped the first. Maya Sharif serves down the tip. Oh, it's right into the body of Goff.
Just got a little bit cramped. Perhaps that one kicked just slightly into it. It was directed down to the forehand, down the tee. Martin Landolucci out on court number 9 did take the fourth set 7-5. So now 3-love up in the fifth against Vit Kapriva. Having dropped the first 2 tests, winning just 3 games in the first 2 sets, could well be turning around another really talented young Spanish player. Oh!
Rafa Hoddard still in the draw. Right,
so plenty to cheer for the Spanish, even without the great champion.
Incredible, isn't it?
Carlos Alcaraz here this year.
Young players they've got coming through. Game point, Sharif. Wearing the white visor, the curly hair, and a high ponytail out of the back of it as she steps back and spins that very, very high ball. It sits through the middle of the court from Goff, and Goff with her forehand spins it cross-court onto the service line. The noise you can hear is Maya Sharif. It goes down the line, backhand cross-court from Goff onto the service line, backhand up line from Sharif, just in from Goff.
An extended opening service game here for Sharif. She's having to work really hard. Goff working her around the court well. Great athleticism from both women. Both women having heavily top-spinning shots here.
Wow, yes.
Lots and lots and lots of work on the ball. But Goff just able to work her over so much that she shanks that last one. Yeah, shanked. Proper shank.
Lashings of spin on these balls.
7 minutes, 15 seconds as Sharif steps up to serve in this service game.
Deuce, but she misses that first serve. She's going to have a little look.
Goff not impressed by the fact that she is going to have a look.
I mean, it was a really not impressed kind of... Oh.
Yep. The facial expression was just, come on.
She didn't hide it, did she?
Yeah.
No disguise there. Just clearing Philippe Chatrier, head of Arena Sabalenka's arrival.
And again, there was about 10 bounces between that before that second serve, a delayed or lengthy sort of pause in play. So that's something that Coco will need to be mindful of with Sharif, that there will be some play, you know, it'll be a slower play. There'll be some, yeah, she's a veteran who has some guile.
Yeah. First serve down the tee, forehand slapped through the middle of the court. Again, these high spinny balls sitting up, and that's all she's going to get from Sharif right now. Down the line goes Goff. Wow, they're getting high as a real old moon ball. Goff is having to leap in the air to hit these balls before she puts enough work on it of her own. There's the drop shot, well, short slice at the end from Maya Sharif, who tries to bunt it back, but Goff put a lot of pressure, came forward, drew the error, and she's broken the serve for 2-love.
Great work there from Goff. She was stretched. You talk about that... That high moon ball I was watching Alexandra Olenkova this morning against the Australian. She beat the Australian Kimberly Birrell, who had defeated Jess Pegula earlier in this tournament, 10-5 in a super tiebreaker. And does she find some height on some of her defensive shots, and not even defensive shots. And it is a great strategy because she does change the tempo, the trajectory. She upsets the rhythm, and there's a reason for it.
Oh, you frustrate your opponent
absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely, and she played a superb match, just got there in the end, but through to the third round, right-hander from Ukraine.
It would just annoy anyone. I mean, if Sharif moonballs for the next 2 hours, can you imagine Goff at the end of it?
She'll have a trouble raising her hand to ask a question, I would have thought.
Forehand down the line from Goff, cross-court. Sharif is the one making the noise. Goes inside in with her forehand down the line, and good. I love having line judges because you look for their limbs. Now we've lost line judges. That yes, there's a noise, but sometimes if it's really noisy or you're in a very high commentary box, but here, hand in, hand out. I have missed them.
Just clip the side of the line.
Missed the limbs.
You do?
Yeah. Serve down the tee, the off forehand. I understand why it's happened. It wasn't the best of drop shots from Goff. It sat up. Sharif says, thank you very much.
The greatest gift you'll get in a point today from Coco Goff.
Yeah.
That was, not a great drop shot, a dropper or droppy, and an atrocious lob. But 15 all.
A bad droppy and atrocious lob. How about that for a combination?
Not one you want on the Thursday afternoon in stifling
heat. Not winning any points, is it? Goff 15 all, steps in. She's inside the base and now retreats to the backhand down the line. That one stops short. Forehand up the line and long on from Sharif.
Just marginally overcooked that one. Out on court number 12, Daria Kasatkina. Just keeping an eye on that scoreline, and she's had about 5 match points in this tiebreaker, and each time the match point goes begging. Just wondering whether, against Susan Bandecki from Switzerland, whether she can close this match out. She was down 5-1 in the first set, took it 7-5, down 5-3 in the second set, and that's another match point gone begging. Now 11-all in that tiebreaker out on court number 12.
Coco Gauff having some ball tossing trouble. Now serves down the tee. You can imagine what she's getting from Sharif. I don't even have to describe, but she does flatten at the backhand, the Egyptian down the line. Then she slams that forehand, and there's a little drop shot that starts up, and Sharif comes back and slice it. Goff goes for the pass. A little droppy. That felt like a droppy. That word was perfect for that. It just dropped over.
The only thing there the Australian would say, it was a volley, so you almost have to say, you can't say droppy volley, I don't think.
Oh, droppy sounds better.
Droppy, definitely.
Droppy, yeah.
Beautiful. Well, it was beautiful touch.
It was beautiful, yes.
But a droppy volley?
No, it doesn't sound right, does it? It sounds like droopy.
Droopy.
Yeah. It was far from a droopy volley. It was a lovely droppy. It wasn't a droopy volley. That come on was JC Forel in the Goff camp.
And that's because Coco Goff just sliced a serve that almost took out the baseline lines judge and had so much work on it and angled away from her rival.
Sharif is crouched really low off the returner serve. That fist bump, I feel, tells me an Australian may have gone through. I think that tie break's come to an end. Goff has come to the net. She volleys. It sits up. Sharif will get there. And it's long. So Goff has consolidated for 3 love. Meanwhile, on court number 12, Courtney.
Daria Kasatkina progresses, makes it 1 Australian winner from 3. Look, I'm very invested in the Aussies in my writing duties. And good to see her get through 7-5, 7-6. She's had a rough year, but some good signs in the last month or so. And we know that she's a former semi-finalist here in Paris.
I think that Eva Lees is in the Coco Gauff box. Pretty sure. Matthew says, really enjoying the commentary today. Looking forward to your commentary of the next 2 hours. What's the commentary schedule for tomorrow? Matthew, you're always asking for our commentary schedule.
Well, and I've got to say, one of the marvels of the modern world is how swiftly and how well you get the rotor out. It is incredible.
I know what it's like. People need to make plans. And when it comes through late and people are like, where is it? So I'd rather get it done. I'm with Eleanor tonight for the night session.
I am on tomorrow morning with the great Marcus Buckland.
Well, there you go. There's a mark. I think, am I on Marcus 7, 7 to 8:15?
You are indeed on at 7 to 8. So Gigi, myself, you just drop in and kick us off, make sure that we've got Marcus is actually wearing, appropriate clothing after today's.
We just look like a Doctor of Tourists. And yesterday he came in like he'd just been for a run. I don't know what's happened to him. He's normally so smart.
Oh, very, very sharply dressed.
Look, very different this year.
It is a tricky one with the, how do I put it, the hot conditions. Today
we're all managing to look
Today I've had to go for the tea without the polo, because I bought 5 polo shirts with me.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, occasionally through the European summer, you can sneak a second wear, because it's not that hot, but yeah. It's been so hot that I just wouldn't want to put anyone through it.
Oh,
all
right.
5
okay.
days of polos.
Right.
Washing the polos today because...
I did a wash today, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that kind of weather when you've got to be turning over the clothes quite
yes.
a lot. 20 minutes on the clock. Sharif serves down the tee. The backhand down the line. The backhand cross court from Sharif. The backhand cross court from Goff. The backhand down the line from Sharif. Forehand up line from Goff. Backhand down the line. That's a beauty from Sharif, just keeping the ball lower.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful flatter as well. Yeah. Flattened through that. Matt also just had a question at the end. How hot does it get in the summer in Australia? Well, Gigi, you're well placed to say that, having been down through many Australian Opens. Very hot.
Yeah, and in the 40s.